Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show. This is BBG Radio, and I am Drew Fixman. I hope you're all having a good evening, and Christmas is, well, the road to Christmas is pretty much exciting. On tonight's show, we have a whole lot to talk about. Let's see. We got Mike Huckabee Sturge, Romney's decline, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Oprah. We'll talk a little bit about the CIA and Virginia Williams, Mr. Security program. Without any further ado, I believe it is now time to bring in my good friend and fellow co-host, George.
Star Wars! Bar Wars!
George, I think you have been on the set for a while. You're kind of wound up.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Having a little difficulty hearing you. Sound like you're kind of in a tunnel there.
Oh, okay. Well, I had a little trouble calling in and accessing the show tonight.
All right.
So we might have just hit a little gap somewhere.
Okay.
How bad is it?
It's not quite as bad as it had been in the past, but it's still, you know, like, there will be a few times when I'll ask you to repeat what you said.
Okay. Yeah, as long as it's not as bad as it was before, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Yankees, George, because Will Buck and Villa tonight, and Bryant got knocked off one by the Ace Storm.
Say that one more time.
Will won't be here, and Bryant got knocked out by the Ace Storm in Iowa.
Ah.
So he doesn't have phone service. He emailed me earlier today. So it's going to be in you tonight.
All right.
So let's talk about the Yankees.
Ah, yes.
George, what's going on over there?
Well, it's apparently one of my prayers was answered when Andy Pettit said that he was going to come back and pitch another year. That couldn't have been better news for us, considering that we were under the we were under pressure of having two veterans, one of them incredibly shaky, and three youngsters. And the fact that Pettit is now in and everything, he should be taking, like, firm control of that number two spot that he handled so well last year. And that should kind of ease the pressure a little bit.
And no one would ask you, would you pull the trigger on the Johan Santana deal?
Say that one more time?
Would you pull the trigger on the Johan Santana deal?
Considering the players that they want, I always liked Philip Hughes. He's somebody that I always like Melky and everything. That deal I could personally go 50-50 for. I would love it if these young guys continue to stick around as Yankees and produce the way that I know they can. But at the same time, if we can get us, you know, like an ace pitcher, somebody who won't fold in the clutch, then that's always a good thing as well. So it's one of those situations where, like, if they can go ahead and agree on those two players and not have to put Ian Kennedy into the mix, then more power to them. But if we wind up walking away and we still have Hughes and Cabrera, I'm happy.
Yeah, I remember too, the deal breaker now seems to be that the Twins also want Chamberlain.
Right. Yeah, they ain't touching Chamberlain.
That's a whole lot to give up. I don't care how good the pitcher is in question.
Yeah.
You're talking about trading two young starters.
He is, you know, like Chamberlain is somebody that just really kind of really came out of nowhere in the best possible way. And he's somebody that I want to see that kid get a ring on his finger, and I want to see it happen in the Bronx. So,
Worst case scenario, Santana goes to the Red Sox.
I mean, it's, you know, like, I don't want to, you know, like, put I don't want to put the rings on anyone's fingers until they earn them, because everybody was ready to put the American League Championship Series crowns on Cleveland's head, and look what happened there.
It's
one of those things where they got, you know, like, if, but at the same time, if they have to get rid of guys like Jacoby Ellsbury and, you know, like John Lester and somebody else in order to get Santana, then that's just fine too.
One baseball question. What did you think about the Tigers switching Cabrera and Willis from the Marlins?
I thought that was a fantastic move by Detroit. I thought that was something that, you know, like, you just kind of have to, you know, like, take a step back and everything. And as a baseball fan, it's exciting because all of a sudden now, you know, like, you know, Detroit was always just kind of like hanging around there. Obviously, they made it to the World Series the year before, but now all of a sudden they're right up there with the rest of them, like right back in the hunt. And I think that's a great thing for baseball.
Man, that Tigers lineup is going to be fierce.
I just love how aggressive they are.
Yeah,
I like seeing that. I like seeing how, you know, like, it's more than just the Yankees and Red Sox that are making these moves out there.
Let's jump into politics. What do you want to talk about, George? We've got a lot of options here. Anything jumping on your mind first off?
Well, considering that I just finished reading up and everything, getting myself more acquainted with the whole Huckabee pardon thing, I think that would be a perfect place to start.
You want to talk about the questions about Mike Huckabee's pretty leading record on pardons and commutations, I would say.
I'd say he was more than a little generous.
The fact that Huckabee actually pardoned and commuted more people than the three previous governors combined.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, like, just the fact that they, you know, the particulars of these people that they, you know, that are getting the spotlight, you know, like, obviously the castrated fellow.
What do you think of Huckabee?
He's somebody that, you know, like, I get a kick out of him. He's definitely somebody who is a smart guy, but at the same time, it's just like, you know what he's like? He's like Spider-Man 3. If he just, like, a little tweaks here and there, he'd be somebody that I could get behind.
He doesn't believe in evolution.
Yeah, that's a tweak right there.
And he advocates the flat tax.
He advocates what?
He advocates the flat tax.
Yep.
I really don't think that the flat tax is a good idea.
No.
I mean, if you're rich.
Yeah, I mean, there's no coincidence that, you know, like, the biggest advocate before Huckabee of the flat tax was Steve Forbes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not just helping with good policy. Steve just didn't think it was good policy to have behind it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's give all this money to this guy here, Cash Bankman. He seems to know what he's doing.
you know what else strikes me about this Huckabee thing that I find really, really, really interesting is all this wave of support. It's something that the Ron Paul supporter is going to do to their candidate. Since Huckabee surged, the Paul people have gotten really quiet. This surge that's happened for Huckabee was something that early in the year the Ron Paul people thought was going to come to them.
Huckabee, one thing, you know, like that definitely plays well with Huckabee is one thing that I really got a kick out of, even though, like, it was very kind of like in a joking manner, everything was his commercial with Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
That commercial did more for Huckabee's campaign than any of the debates combined.
Just like, you know, just watching Huckabee with a straight face, as like as deadpan as he could possibly be, he might as well have just been saying, "I'm Mike Huckabee and I approve this message," by just saying, "Behind Chuck Norris's beard is not a chin, only another fist." Fantastic!
Yeah, the real genius about that ad.
What's that?
Huckabee, the real genius about that ad.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Norris delivered all the political stuff.
Yeah.
Huckabee did the jokes.
Yeah, it was letting Chuck, you know, like, do all the political talk, and Mike was just coming out of nowhere with this wonderful deadpan delivery. that, you know, like you would think he was trained by a stand-up comic.
It would have been really easy to just get a conventional celebrity endorsement ad.
Right.
They took it and they put a little different spin on it, and that's what makes it so funny.
Yeah, the fact that it's Chuck Norris, of all people.
Yeah.
Genius. That is absolute genius.
Now, speaking of celebrity endorsements, we're going to come back to Huckabee Actors in a little while, but speaking of celebrity endorsements, Oprah.
Oh, boy.
Were you surprised at the power of Oprah?
I'm not surprised at the power. At the same time, I just know. You just feel it. This is going to come back to bite Obama in the ass.
How so?
It just feels like it, because people are this is all that, all that this basically is. This is the equivalent of, Barbara Streisand, hooking up with the Clintons and singing Happy Days Are Here Again at the Democratic inauguration. It was basically just like, here is, the conservative media, media is going to be like.
Yeah, we're the only real liberal media out there.
Yeah, come on now. it is going to basically just, all they're doing is just giving them more and more material. Because, if Obama wasn't black, if there wasn't a black candidate, Oprah would be too busy giving away cars to her studio audience and charging the taxes on it. It was just like, it's so self-serving that it's ridiculous. It is like, if Oprah wasn't black, she'd be transparent. You'd see right through the girl.
Yeah, I happen to think that it's a brilliant strategic move by the Obama people to do this now, whenever he's getting momentum.
What's that? Say that one more time.
I think it's a brilliant strategic move to do this now.
It is very strategic to do it now. Yes. If he can win the nomination and everything, like with this sort of support, then she's got to take a step back and let him go the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think if I had Oprah on my team, I would pull it out for right now in the early stage, and then Oprah could show in the background. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
because very helpful.
With this sort of support is amazing. This sort of support is really, really something special. And she can take this and kind of run with it and just say, I helped, get this man onto the Democratic ticket. Then she can, that's a huge feather in her cap. She doesn't have to go any farther, although you know that she's going to want to. She's going to want to say, I helped get Barack Obama into the White House.
Yeah.
Difference right there.
I happen to think that a lot of people have written my column. A lot of the pundits are thinking that if I won't let Obama vote, they're probably right that what Oprah did was give Obama entry into an audience that he was having trouble reaching.
Yeah.
And Obama dominated handling all these things over.
Yeah, which is nice. I mean, obviously the Post had a few, interesting words by saying, putting it right out there, saying, would you buy a president from this woman? Yeah,
you know what I'm gonna ask?
I gotta say, looking back on it, I was just like, that's a pretty good headline there.
But I gotta ask you, do you think the Democratic race has really shifted?
What's that?
Do you think the race has really shifted, the Democratic race?
Do I think what?
Do you think the Democratic race has shifted?
Has shifted? It's definitely evened out, I think. I think that, it's basically in the sense of, Hillary, rocketing off to this awesome start and everything, and it's like a tortoise in the hair kind of thing. She's not as dominating in the media as she was before, and so now she's able to kind of like take a step back and everything and kind of, count her money, and, obviously ignoring Kenny Rogers' rule, but now all of a sudden here comes Obama with this huge, huge bit of support, and I wouldn't be shocked if we see more of Clinton in the next couple of weeks to try to ratchet up the attention and get it back towards her.
Yeah, do you think she? If you're Hillary Clinton, okay, George, if you're Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife's probably not going to like this.
All right, none of my underwear would fit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys can now share a wardrobe. But you're Hillary. Are you worried right now?
How am I worried?
Yeah, are you worried right now?
I am worried because I was under the assumption that I had this whole thing locked up, and I have been treating the debates as such. And now all of a sudden, it's looking like, you know, hey, it's not over. You know, this is, you know, it's not, you know, like you're not quite at the, it's not quite the end of the season yet. You still got a ways to go.
So, also, what do you, I wanted to ask you, do you think Rudy Giuliani's collapsed?
He's on his way down. He is definitely on his way down. I wasn't able to see the YouTube video that you sent to me yet. I do have to get down.
Give that a look. You'll find that pretty funny.
I'm sure I will. You know, like, I mean, if it's pointing out anything that Giuliani's saying, it's going to be funny.
It hits on all the things that you hate about Giuliani that you've been preaching about for like 6 months now.
Yeah, it's basically there it is.
So what do you think? Do you think Republicans have found it caught on with Rudy's not there and Republicans?
I think that, you know, like they haven't quite caught on yet. You know, like I think there's still a good amount of them that are holding out hope. But it definitely does not look like the cakewalk that he thought it was. You know, both Rudy and Hillary are both like just, you know, very very much shaken right now. They thought they were going to sweep to victory, and all of a sudden they realize they got to go 7 games.
I got to ask you this question too. This is a good question. I was watching some MSNBC earlier today, and Giuliani's campaign manager was on one of the programs, and he said they think they can lose the first 3 or 4 states, and win all the big states and still win the nomination.
Say that last part one more time.
They think that Rudy can lose the first 3 or 4 states in January, February.
Really?
And win the big states on February 5th and win the nomination.
They think they can lose three of the first 4 states?
They're basically writing off the first 3 to 4 states.
No. Just because he was rooting for the Red Sox doesn't mean he gets to play like them. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, it never happened in history that somebody lost the first three or four states and then won the nomination.
No, you have to go for every single state that you can go for. You know, I mean, that was, you know, like that was a big problem right there with you know, like with Al Gore in 2000. You know, like, yeah, there was, you know, Florida was a big, you know, screw up and everything. But at the same time, it shouldn't have had to have gone that far. If you had at least, you know, like, you know, gone and campaigned in your own home state, that would have helped.
Yeah, well, I've done a little bit good to show up there once in a while.
Right. You can't just write off a state and just say, like, you're like, oh, that won't be a problem. We'll go ahead and get them the next time. No.
According to
Rudy's a Yankee fan. He should know better.
According to Giuliani's campaign manager, they're concentrating on winning New York, Florida, Texas, California, and Illinois. And they think that's going to give them the foothold on the nomination.
I'm actually kind of relieved that they have this sort of mentality going, because that basically just kind of ensures the fact that they won't be there in the long run.
Okay. I ask you this question periodically on the show. Who scares you most out of the Republicans?
Out of the Republicans, who scares me the most?
Who scares you? Who would you be scared to see as president?
Actually, you know, like, you know what? I probably, you know, like, I think like Rudy still like is the one that still scares me the most out of all of them. He seems to basically have like everything wrong about the Republican Party rolled up into a nice big ball.
Yeah.
While at the same time, it's just like there are other people that, you know, there are other guys that are showing that have, you know, like that have at least a history of some smarts. You know, and but at the same time, like there's Rudy, you know, like doing the whole, you know, maintain the status quo that was left in such good shape by the Bush administration.
Yeah, I think Rudy, I got to give him a background here. Rudy's basically running 5th in the first 3 states, average.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's in one fifth in the first 30 states. Sure, so he's running better in New Hampshire, but he's down in fifth in Iowa, South Carolina. He's been running with second, third in New Hampshire. The thing is, I don't think you can run fifth in two of the first three and win the nomination.
I don't think so either.
Especially if one candidate wins the first three.
Yeah.
If Romney or Romney, although I think Romney's toast.
Oh, Romney is definitely on his way out. You know, I can't see him winning. I can't see Thompson winning. I don't really hear all that much from McCain. I don't think he's going to last. I think McCain's best shot was in 2000.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Oh. You know, like, he blew his shot. It's as simple
We've
as
talked
that.
About what happened to John McCain.
What's that?
We've talked about what happened to John McCain.
Yeah.
How he can survive torture, but he can't survive campaigning against Bush.
Well, that's a tough disease. He
hasn't been the same man since 2000. But yeah, okay. What do you think? Who do you think on the Democratic side? You don't have to pick a full blown winner, but
for the blue state?
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you like?
I can actually see Obama coming out and basically prevailing. I can see, just like the fact that he's still in this and he's doing so well, and if he can do it without you know, like Oprah getting her head in the way, you know, like without her, you know, trying to move the camera towards her, then I think he's got a very legitimate shot of winning this.
Hey, George, we got a couple of phone calls. I'll pay 50 phone calls and see what people say. Hey, because you think it's on and you're on the show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
You're on the show.
Hey, how you doing? Guess who?
Hey, how are you?
Take a guess.
Come on, guys.
It's Ryan Latimer.
Ryan!
Oh, Ryan. Hey, what's up? Good night.
How are you, sir?
Good, sir. I'm doing great. I got a quick question to ask you first. Maybe it's just my connection, but Jason sounds like Bumblebee from Transformers.
That's a perfect analogy right there.
I can't hear you that well.
We're having some problems. We're going to have to redo the show.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. I don't think this show's going to last. I think Jordan and I have back another one tomorrow.
Jason, start singing Drive.
Yeah. Okay, Ryan.
Hello?
Ryan, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. What was your second question?
Talk to Ryan.
You there?
George, talk to Ryan.
Oh, hey, Ryan.
Can I ask him what's going on? I don't think he can hear me.
Ryan, you there? Oh, I think we lost him.
Yeah, we lost him. 718. We'll go to you now.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
You're on the show.
Whoa, hey. Whoa. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I haven't noticed you guys talking about Ron Paul.
Oh, no. We haven't addressed Ron Paul on tonight's show.
What happened?
We haven't really brought up Ron Paul on tonight's show. I was actually going to do another Ron Paul show in a week or two.
I mean, compared to...
The thing I want to talk about with Ron Paul is I want to talk about his fundraising. I want to talk about the fact that he jumped up in the polls now to like the 6, 7% range. I kind of wanted to bundle up it together in one program.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Oh, we're gonna be taking like the different candidates that are polling in like the 6-7% range or so, and balling them up into one program.
We're gonna do a Ron Paul show.
Yeah.
We're gonna do a Ron Paul follow up.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I'm just, for lack of a better term, I am a Ron Paul fan. I support him. I donate to his campaign. I mean, the fact of the matter is, people should really at least give a look at where he stands on the issues. He's saying a lot of stuff that a lot of the candidates are just not saying.
I definitely agree. He's one of those guys that's very much in that sort of realm where comes out, you know, like people give him like, you know, like a moderate applause, but as soon as he's done talking, the applause is so much more.
Well, yeah, I mean he's common sense, like duh.
Right.
You know, But in New York City, over here in New York City, Obama had a rally here at Washington Square Park. And the thing that really, you know, because I used to like him when during the Democratic National Convention.
Oh, that was his coming out party. He was brilliant at that,
yeah,
that whole speech.
Yeah, but then when he did a speech there, he said, we should build more schools in the Middle East. Like, whoa, wait one motherfucking minute here. Why we gotta build schools over there for? A, they don't want us there. I mean,
we gotta worry about building schools here.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this in front of a whole bunch of and mind you, this is in the Village, Washington Square Park.
Oh yeah.
So I come out, it's like, what the fuck is this faggot saying? I'm like, oops. He's like, wait a minute, build schools for them? They don't want us there. I think they could build their own damn schools.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then Obama's basically saying these these general things that we need. We need a new government. Yay! We need to drink water. Yay! We need food. Yay! Okay, what are you going to do about it?
Right. It's basically like he's kind of shifted into this whole politico in training mode,
yeah,
almost.
I mean, it just, and the thing is, the fact of the matter is, okay, you know, Oprah endorses Obama. I wonder why she endorsed him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying earlier.
I wonder if
Obama wasn't of a similar race,
yeah,
then
if
Oprah would be
black,
too busy giving away cars to her audience members.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm personally going to start doing a little research on Oprah's background to see if she has any ties to the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm not making any accusations here, but it's kind of strange that she would just choose him. I mean, I don't care what race you are, black, white, Hispanic. I'm Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
And I registered Republican just for Ron Paul,
which is what's required in New York State. that's one of our little fine prints,
yeah,
that people are quite familiar with, that you have to be registered with your party in order to vote for that party.
Exactly, and to me that's stupid. But
it is stupid. Yeah, I'm definitely with you there.
You know, but I have a dedication to this man.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in what he says, and I mean, I know he could win if people would just stop listening to what a talk show host who has a 1-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, she happens to give away cars, but did you know those people have to still pay the taxes on the cars?
Right. Exactly.
You know,
it's the same thing with any game show. You know, it's just like it's the same thing.
You know, it's,
okay, guys, our connection is getting progressively worse.
Okay, hold on. Let me.
We're gonna have to.
Let me.
We're gonna have
the window.
Wrap up the show here. Thanks for your call.
All right. God bless.
Take care, man.
Thanks. Bye. Okay. Yeah, George. I think we're gonna have to delete the show and pretty much do another one. I've had background static with you the whole time, but it hasn't been that. I can just hear you say it, just been background static. But when you and our colleagues were talking, you started breaking up.
What's that?
So I'm going to guess, instead of breaking up when you and our caller were talking,
yeah,
and I'm going to guess that that's the way people are hearing you tonight.
It's definitely like the, that's definitely, the, you know, like how your connection's coming through.
Yeah, I've had this problem as soon as I called in to do the show. I'll tell you what, I think maybe we just picked a peak time.
What's that?
8 o'clock, big peak prime time. How about we come back tomorrow at 7 o'clock, okay with you?
7 o'clock? Okay.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or else we'll come, if you could do it, we'd even do another one later this evening.
Okay.
Just pick up a discussion.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe like an hour and a half.
Hour and a half?
That's actually
good for me, actually.
Okay, hopefully the traffic here at Block Off will calm down.
Yeah.
We'll come back at 10 and do the show.
Sounds good to
I'll
me.
I'll believe this one.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
I'll see you at 10, okay?
All right, I'll see you at 10.
Okay.
Bye-bye.